Okay, welcome to module two, and in this module we want to talk about product launch strategies. Now, please remember, you can download and print off your mind maps, your case studies, worksheets, and check sheets. Okay, now, in module two, launch strategies. Now, let's talk about launch types. So, John, soft launches?
Soft launches has its advantages over a scheduled launch. I mean, let's say you have an idea for a product and it's something you want to get to market quick.
Yes.
Obviously, with a big launch, you're usually talking, you will plan it maybe weeks and months in advance. With a soft launch, you can get it to market in a matter of days.
So hot niches.
Yeah, hot niches. Yeah, or you just sometimes you can just have an idea. And, you have an idea for something that's happening right now,
yeah,
and you want to get it out there, so you would do a soft launch.
I have an example. Recently, there was a big thing about Teespring, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon very, very quickly. So if you're not quick at turning out a product, then a soft launch is perfect for a situation like that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be in a situation where you're planning a Teespring launch 3 months after the Teespring craze has happened. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that can happen. So we don't really have a set launch date with a soft launch. It's also easier. There's less stress, less pressure. The worst thing that can happen with a soft launch is it won't do brilliantly. That's the ultimate. I mean, with any launch, it's time, you put less time into a soft launch and you might have an idea, you might have it in the market in 48 hours. Worst case scenario is it doesn't really sell brilliantly and you've wasted a couple of days, but that's it. But it can still snowball. It can still snowball, it can still take off. I mean, especially if you're using a platform such as JVZoo. We've seen products get put on JVZoo, never heard of them, and all of a sudden everyone's promoting them just simply because they're doing really, really well. EPCs are high, which is what we'll be talking about later. And it can just snowball. So you can have a soft launch and it can still be highly, highly successful. It's just the chances of it happening are probably slimmer.
Yes, slimmer to a planned launch, of course. Now, a scheduled launch. Now, we've got the comparison here, soft launch against scheduled launch. We obviously know scheduled launch they're planned months in advance, weeks even, for the minimum a week.
Minimum weeks, I mean, an ideal case scenario, you want to be letting affiliates know of a big launch at least 6 weeks before, and preferably more. And because of that, because you're letting affiliates know sooner, you're giving them lots of notice, you've got more chance of recruiting top affiliates. I mean, if you have a soft launch, let's say tomorrow I decided to launch a product, I could approach Dan and say, Dan, I've got a launch going on tomorrow, it's going to be a 72-hour thing, can you help me? Dan will probably turn around and say, John, I'm committed to something else, I can't do it. And that's the big advantage with a scheduled launch is you can let affiliates know in advance. You can tell them to clear their calendar, or you can tell them if you've got affiliates who want to support you, they'll generally move stuff around. And with a soft launch, that's harder to do.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about launching within your means. And when I say launching within your means, depending on what type of business you have, if you're a one-man band, or you have a full launch team, or you have a big budget, small budget, and we're going to take a look at how much you actually have to spend. So we're going to take a look at price points versus prizes. So John, what would your opinion be for kind of the newbie? Price point versus prizes.
Right, now this is going to be it's a little bit of a grey area. What you would normally do, okay, especially with your first launch, if you're going to have a competition, you would normally have a minimum requirements set. So let's say, for example, to win first prize, you need to make at least 100 sales. I personally it puts me off, and this is a problem you may have.
Yeah.
If you have a minimum requirement for your launch, okay, if you have a minimum sales requirement, you're basically saying to affiliates, I'm not sure if my product's going to sell, so I'm going to cover my ass with minimum requirements.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem you may face. Now, I would recommend, this is what I would recommend, just make sure you can cover your prizes should the worst happen, should the launch not sell as well as you planned. Now, by that I mean you don't have to have a $10,000 first prize. You just have to have a prize. You know, you can have a good looking top 10 prize board for about $500.
Yes.
And if you're deadly, deadly serious about doing this right, you should, you know, invest that. Now, the most important thing is you have a leaderboard. You can actually, I mean, I've done this with a few soft launches, just put a top 10 leaderboard up.
Mm.
You don't even have to have any prizes. Believe me, affiliates will mail again if they know, you know, they're in second place and the three sales are first place and things like that, you know. But the thing you don't want to do is, you know, think to yourself, you know, what can happen is, let me try and rephrase this. What can happen is you can have a lot of affiliates say they're going to support you, and you think, yeah, I'm going to make tons and tons of sales, and you can say, I can put my prize money up, I can do this, I can do that. One mistake I made with a big launch I had a $30,000 prize fund, and yes, the top prize was $10,000, no minimum requirements. Now, I knew I could personally make that $10,000 in sales. What happened was, I had a lot of affiliates saying, I'm going to promote, I'll be on board, I'll be supporting you. So I actually added more prize money. I think it was a $5,000 pre-launch first prize, something along those lines. And what happened was, when it came to launching, a lot of affiliates didn't support me. This is something you will find out with your launches. Just because someone says they're going to promote doesn't mean they're going to promote, okay? You will find over time you will build relationships with close affiliates who you can count on, and there'll be another group of affiliates who, you know, hopefully they will promote.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to get at here is have prizes, but don't stretch beyond your means. For example, though, one thing I do want to say is, if Dan was having a launch and I said to Dan, I'm going to support you, Dan knows I'm going to support him. So he could probably say, yeah, John's probably going to get me a couple of $1,000 in sales, so I can have a $2,000 prize fund, and John's promo alone will cover that.
Yeah.
So when you know you're getting promotions from affiliates, when you know you have an affiliate you can rely on, and you know they're going to make you a ton of sales, you can then think, yeah, I can possibly add more prizes. But yeah, so basically make sure you don't go beyond your means.
Yeah, it's a finding a balance, isn't it, between how much you think you're going to earn and how much you can give away in the prizes. Because, you know, what you don't want to do is have a fantastic launch, give away X amount of money in prizes, and then when all the numbers come in, your launch is over, having to fund the prize fund and realise you've got nothing left for yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that's been done before. You have done that before, and you know, you realise you need to launch within your means, and that's what we're trying to get at here, but launching within your means. And by doing that, you can find a nice balance between what you give to affiliates, and it allows you to take money home to the bank.
What you can also do, I mean, what I've done in the past as well, if a launch is going really well, you can have spot prizes, you can up the prizes, you can have weekend competitions and things like that. I mean, if you're expecting to make $1,000 on day one and you make $10,000 on day one, you then, you know, you really up the game and you say, look, this is going really well, for the more sales on Tuesday, I'm going to give $1,000. Things like that. You can start to do things like that because you know the money's going.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this in module one, didn't we? It's how to increase sales within your launch period. Because a general launch, it'll spike on day one to two, and then, you know, it all drops off during the week, and then when it comes to the end of the launch, it comes back up again. But we'll discuss that when we come to launch day. Okay, JV competitions. Now, we've kind of touched on that, haven't we, in the last slide, but how would you create the perfect JV competition?
Right, I mean, I think, If you haven't got a lot of money and you want to put, you know, cash is good. Cash is king. I mean, you know, if I was giving away $10,000, I would make it cash. You know, just $5,000 first prize, whatever, and then work it down. If I had only, say, something like $500 to give away, I would make it prizes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I did a launch not long ago. The product was called WP Speedy Links, and I did... You know, the product was about speed. It was about setting up a link really, really fast, an affiliate link on your blog. So I related everything to speed. You know, I gave away things like remote control racing cars. I think I gave away the film Speed on DVD or Blu-ray. Things like that. Everything was related to speed. Speedy Gonzales figure or something, whatever. But everything was related to speed. Now, that top 10... I covered my top 10 prizes for $180.
Yeah.
That's all I spent.
I think I won a racetrack.
Yeah. But I kept it related to what the product was about. You know, like I picked a hook or a theme and related the prize that. So you can do that. I mean, if, you know, just look at your product, think about what the main hook is or what the main focus of your product is and see if you can have JV prizes related to it, you know, related to your product name or whatever. And if you just go on Amazon or eBay or, you know, I want one of those, or, you know, gadget website, I want one of those.com, whatever.
Yeah.
You can find lots of gadgets and gizmos that don't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, you find most of them from Amazon, and it really is worth taking the time to. I'll say that again, it's so easy to just put up dollars when if you can find something with a higher perceived value, like a prize.
Perceived value, yeah.
And you actually find it sort of gets well received by JV partners, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for example, I mean, you can pick up a little gadget or gizmo for what, $10-$20, and it looks more, and you know, rather than just sending PayPaling someone $10.
Yeah. Okay, launch and product flow. Now, the pre-launch. Now, a pre-launch. It's not always necessary with a soft launch, but having the product flow and getting your pre-launch right is essential, isn't it?
If you're doing a big launch, yeah, you need a pre-launch. I mean, the standard is usually, you know, 3 to 4 pieces of content over about 3 to 7 days before your launch. Build up a buzz, give really good free content away, and then people make people think, you know, if this free content's really good, what's the paid content going to be like? And what I tend to do is usually, you know, if I have a big pre-launch, it's usually training videos. It could be case studies. You know, if for example I was selling, I'm just going to use an example here, a list building product, and let's say Dan was going over what I was teaching and he built 1,000 subscribers from my methods, I could use Dan as a case study. I could show, look, this is someone who's, you know, or a newbie. You could take a newbie who's followed your training, they've got results. That's a good pre-launch strategy as well. Yeah. So you're showing people the actual results they're going to get when your product launches. You know, so case studies are another good reason, another good pre-launch. It's good for pre-launch content, but what you want to be doing is just giving value during your pre-launch, and also obviously you want your affiliates promoting the pre-launch. The good thing about the pre-launch is you can build a list of, you know, prospects, and you know, if you can get a few thousand people on a pre-launch list, then when your product goes live, you've already got a ton of people you can email, and if you do it right, you will get affiliates promoting pre-launch. Maybe not as easy as it used to be to get affiliates to promote pre-launch, because most affiliates are really, really busy. But if you can get them to launch, to mail at least once to a pre-launch, that can make a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, we're going to touch a lot on pre-launch strategies in the next module, aren't we? I mean, it's a pretty big module, module 3, so there's a lot to learn when it comes to pre-launch. Also, you can have a mid-launch strategy as well, can't you, John?
This is the area where
this is the area where most people feel, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really? I believe. I mean, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of product creators will have a launch, have a great first and second day, and then it dips off. And this is because they just don't plan. Now, one of the biggest mistakes I see is a product creator not keeping his affiliates updated. Let's say you're having a 7-day launch. You should be mailing your affiliates at least once per day.
Yeah.
Sometimes 2 times, 3 times, and possibly more on your closing stages. And most product creators don't do that. You have to keep giving your affiliates a reason to promote. And the way to keep buzz going during mid-launch is usually, you know, with news about your launch. Hopefully it's going fantastically. Hopefully EPCs are through the roof. You know, you can keep affiliates updated. You can have spot prizes. You know, whoever makes the most sales this Thursday is going to win an iPhone or an iPad or $500 or whatever. The worst thing you can do is just not do anything. You know, don't just think you tell people that the product launches and that's it. You know, make sure you keep your affiliates updated, even if sales are slowing down, because what we should be building for is the closing stages. And if you don't keep your affiliates updated and don't let them know that the, you know, when the launch is closing and what's going to happen and what they should do, then your launch can fail.
They're not going to be there for you, are they?
What I try to do when I educate my affiliates, you know, I try to educate my affiliates during the launch. I try to give them tips and tell them how to make more sales of my product, but I also big up the closing stages. I big up, you know, the last 48 or so hours.
Yeah.
And I give them all of the material well in advance. You know, I give them all of the swipes they need. I usually have a swipe when there's 48 hours to go, 24 hours, 12 hours, 6 hours, and 3 hours. That's how I plan the closing stages. And I tell my affiliates, if you mail during those times, at this specific time, if you send this specific email, you will make a ton of sales. And if and the affiliates who follow my instructions do make a ton of sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, the mid-launch leads to the closing stages, which is usually the biggest part of the launch.
Yeah, we'll talk about the crush campaign later, won't we? And just basically teach you how to make the most from every product launch. I just want to add something on the mid-launch there, and just this is for the new guys and the people who don't have a lot of money to put into a launch. Still keep your affiliates updated on what's going on, and even during the mid stages, have a leaderboard. We've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Even mention who's first, who's second, who's third, who's fifth, who's on the move, who's slipping. Create some trash talk. You know, get people fired up to want to beat other people. You know, it's in a sense a big competition and for all GOVs to prove themselves better than each other. So there are times when if you're in midweek and things are slowing down, you can always stimulate the GOVs by trying to add fire to the competition.
One thing you can also do, Dan, you're just pointing on something there, is when you're firing up GOVs, is make sure you communicate with your top 20, 30 affiliates on a personal level. For example, if Dan was sitting in third place and he was 2 sales behind Dave Nicholson, I'd be saying, Dan, you're only 2 sales behind, you need a mail again, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, obviously, if Dan knows that, there's a chance he's going to mail again. But then I'd be in touch with Dave and saying, by the way, Dan's only 2 sales behind you, you need to mail again. You're giving each affiliate a reason to mail again, whether they're behind, in front, whatever. And if you've ever been on a leaderboard, you know, the top product creators will do that. They'll give you reasons to mail again. And you know, if you're going to make maybe an extra $200 to $300 or $400 or more because you're climbing one or two places, obviously, there's a chance you'll do that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's take a look at obviously post launch. So after the post launch, there are a few things you can do with your product. You like to keep it, I think, evergreen, John. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do evergreen, you can close it, or you can put the price. Them are usually the three things, but I would do something along the lines of closing or price increase to start with. And believe me, from past experience, closing it can have the best effect. But the only problem is with closing it is sales are going to stop.
Yes.
Full stop. So, you know, What we tend to do is if we close something, we'll maybe give it 7 days and then we'll reopen it maybe at a higher price. But if you do close it, this is one thing a lot of product creators don't do. If you do close it, send the traffic somewhere else. Okay? Don't just close it and say it's closed, finished, you know, that's it. Say, look, you've missed out, but check out this other product or check out this. But there's one more big thing you need to do here. Make sure you're rewarding affiliates for that too. There's nothing more annoying as an affiliate than seeing someone redirecting traffic after a launch and I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you can do if you close. If you increase the price, what can tend to happen is sales will drop off as well.
Yeah, I've seen that before. You know, you're going from a discounted offer to a full price offer, and obviously there are a few will buy, weren't there? A few will buy, but not as many because the buzz has come to an end. But I mean, with all situations, even with closing it and increasing the price, you should always make money from the urgency. You should always make a lot of money just before you actually close it or increase the price. So that is the whole plan of action, really.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the products I do really well for me are the products I close and then reopen. You know, I mean, you can have a product launch and close it and then 90 days reopen it, and because if you've kept it closed and you stood by your word and people couldn't get in, when you reopen it, you're going to have another launch. And I just want to touch on, you know, the evergreen side of things as well. If you do close, you can have affiliates who may have not been able to mail, they may have missed the boat, you can maybe make them a personalized pitch as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, if Dan couldn't make a launch and he was on holiday or whatever, or he had something else planned, you know, after the launch, you can say, Dan, here's a personal page I created for you for the original product at the original price, and he can mail and you know, do that.
Yes.
Okay. So you know, the big thing is here, when you close, there needs to be a lot of urgency, scarcity. You know, you need to have people realizing they are going to miss out. The fear of loss is what drives sales, and again, yeah, we'll be covering that.
Yeah, we'll cover that even more later on. Okay, product funnels. Now, front end sales. From, say, an affiliate point of view, for front end sales, we are trying to entice affiliates in, aren't we? So it's a good idea to give the affiliates more of the share of your front end sales. Some people feel as though it doesn't sound right, they're going to lose out of money or whatever, but if you give your affiliates an incentive to send out an email with a good front end sale, then you know you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to have a lot of affiliates on board.
Yeah, I mean, if you can go as high as even giving away 100% on the front end, that's going to attract affiliates. Now, the big thing that drives affiliates is EPCs, earnings per click.
Yes.
They want to know, you know, if I send you 100 clicks, I want to be earning, you know, most affiliates want to earn over $1 per click. So they want to know, if I send you 100 clicks, I want to be earning at least $100. Mm-hmm. And if you have solid EPCs, you know, if you can get EPCs above $150 to $2, your product will probably just take off on its own. But, you know, the way to keep the EPCs high is to have a high commission for the affiliate on the front end. Now, it depends on price points here. You know, if you're selling a product for $97 on the front end, you're probably not going to want to give it all away.
No.
But, you know, this is when it comes down to, you know, obviously testing the price points and, you know, different things like that. But as a general rule, for me, as a general rule, with my product launches, most are sub $10 on the front end because I want to bring in as many front end sales as possible. And I generally give away up to 100%, generally 100%, sometimes, you know, sometimes a touch less, but generally 100% on the front end. Because I want my affiliates to make a ton of money. If my affiliates make a ton of money, I make a ton of money. And that's, you know, that's something you should probably write down. You want your affiliates to make a ton of money.
Yeah, completely agree. Upsells. Now, your upsell sales are where it gets quite important, isn't it, John? It's where the money is. And it's where you, as the product creator, make most of your money. And by not having any upsells within your product flow, you do actually leave a lot of money on the table.
Yeah, I mean, the upsell is where it's made. You know, I mean, I think sometimes as well, people don't realise when people think, well, why are you giving away all of your money on the front? Why? Or they don't realise it's a funnel.
Yeah.
Why are you giving away all of your money to affiliates? And the reason is because I've got a funnel in place that I've tested that I know converts, and I'm only giving away 50% throughout the rest of the funnel.
Yeah.
So, you know, the common way to do this is 100% on the front, 50% on everything else, and you'll make your money from the upsells, from the offers you make after people have bought your product.
Yeah, so it's all about keeping affiliates happy and driving traffic, isn't it, John? So say, for example, we have a product, a $5 product, that we're giving 100% commission away on the front end, so the affiliates immediately make $5. The upsell is, for simplicity, we'll call it a $50 upsell at 50%. So immediately the affiliates have an opportunity to make $30 per sale. But within this period, you actually make $25 per sale from every affiliate, and obviously from your own list as well. You're going to have to make an average of $55 from your own list and $25 per affiliate. So what a lot of people don't realise is the more traffic you can drive on the front end, the more upsells that you can make by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, what you should be doing is working out your whole funnel and looking at, you know, the maximum earnings. I mean, you know, forget the $5. You can give away the $5 on the front end, the $10 on the front end, because you know, as long as the back end's converting, you're going to make a ton of money. And, you know, I try to have at least two upsells in the main funnel, and I try and have at least one recurring upsell, because affiliates love recurring commissions. If you can tell an affiliate, you know, if you promote my product for $5, you can earn up to, let's just say, for example, you can earn up to $260 per sale throughout the funnel. Now, the affiliate then is thinking, wow, $260 per sale, you know, but you're only selling a $5 product.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you've got the funnel in place, you know, you're making it a $197 upsell or a $97 upsell or a $20 per month upsell, whatever. And you can tell affiliates that they can earn up to, you know, the higher that number, the better.
Yeah. Now, as well as upsells, we have back-end sales. And obviously the back-end sale can be anything which you add, maybe like a downsell or another a sale that's within the members area that all your affiliates get commission for. For example, we have recurring billing or completely different products that are placed in the funnel by the product creator, i.e. you.
Yeah, one thing I do want to touch on here is a lot of product creators, you know, are selling high ticket items on the back of their launch. And that's why, you know, I've seen some product creators give away 100% throughout the funnel. Then you think to yourself, how is that product creator making money? The reason is you have something high ticket what affiliates usually don't get paid for.
Yes.
What I try to do to keep my affiliates happy, I pay it throughout the whole funnel. And that includes the back end. That includes the $2,000 sales I make. So I can tell an affiliate, if you promote my $5 product, not only can you earn up to $189 or whatever on the funnel, there is also a $2,000 coaching program getting promoted, and you will earn $1,000 per sale of that too. Now, you ask me as an affiliate, is that attractive?
Yeah. I mean, I've made quite a few sales on that, and you don't see many affiliates actually doing that. A lot of affiliates, they work out their numbers basically of how much they can give away in JV prizes, how much they can, or how many sales they can bring in, or how many leads they can bring in, all to filter through onto the high-end coaching program or the high-ticket offer, which is non-affiliated. So, you know, you get a lot of marketers who do that, and, you know, they know the numbers very well, and, you know, it's very good to do that, but they know how much it takes and how many leads that they need to create to give it their massive back-end sales. And it still kind of keeps affiliates happy, doesn't it, though, John? Really. But it is better if you can pay your affiliates all the way through the funnel.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a back end, let's say you had a $3,000 coaching program, you know, you're not obliged if it's done separately, if it's done on a live webinar, or if it's, you know, done through a link in your members area, or if you're phoning people to make sales. You don't have to pay a commission on that. But if you do, you're going to attract more affiliates. And at the end of the day, what you need to think about here is if you have an affiliate that makes a ton of money promoting your stuff, you know, that's at the end of the day what you want to happen. If you have an affiliate, makes tons of money, has, you know, one of his best ever days as an affiliate, do you think next time you launch a product he's going to support you? Of course he is. I mean, you know, that's why you need to keep this mindset. Make your affiliates have, you know, you want your affiliates to earn tons of money. So make them try to have their best days ever by giving them everything they need, having a great funnel in place, and the better days an affiliate has promoting you, the more time they want to support you in the future.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on. Now, launch preparation. Obviously, test, and test again. Because when you hit the button on launch day, if something's going to go wrong, you need to realise what's gone wrong and how you can fix it. But hopefully, if you've tested everything from front to back and sideways, then you know it shouldn't go wrong, and it's essential that you do that. You know, there's nothing worse than hitting the launch button or just sending out that email and all your affiliates promoting and your payment button's broke, or there is a problem with your payment processor, and you know it gives bad feeling to the affiliates because they're not getting paid, and it gives bad feeling to all your leads because they're not getting the product. Do you agree, John?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it. In the past, and we used to say this quite often, you'd see a massive launch, you'd see the server would struggle to cope and the site would go down, you know, and sometimes it was almost a bragging rights, I crashed the server, and that doesn't seem to happen as much now because obviously technology's came a long way. But, you know, have you tested every single scenario in your buying process? What by that I mean, if someone buys product one, then buys the first upsell but doesn't buy the second upsell, does it work?
Yeah.
If someone buys throughout the funnel, does it work? Do your affiliates get paid? Do you get notified? Does the affiliate get notified? Just every single scenario. One of the biggest things you obviously need to test is the affiliate side of things. You don't want a situation where you're getting tons of sales and affiliates aren't getting paid. So test it. test every single scenario. And just as a prep, you know, something to mention as well, have a backup of your site somewhere else. You know, if I'm having a big launch, I'll have my sales page mirrored on another server. Should one of my servers crash or go down or something, the worst should happen, I can flick the switch, move it to another server.
Yeah.
Just imagine the worst case scenario and prepare for it.
Now, focus and be ready. Now, what I mean by focus is, you know, this is a launch. You've planned this weeks and weeks in advance, and it is going to put a strain on yourself. So you need to stay focused, and you need to get ready. On launch day, you know, you're halfway there. The affiliates have been notified. Your pre-launch has been in place. You have your launch period now ahead of you, whether it be a, you know, 3 days, 4 days, 7 days, you know, 2 weeks. You have to be prepared to have everything in place and let everybody know what's going on. So prepare not to sleep for a while, okay? Because at the end of this, you're going to make, you know, you could actually make a year's income or a year's salary for anybody else, but you're going to do this in 2 weeks. So, yeah, you know, it's not easy. And nobody said it was easy. And, you know, it's just you need to focus and be ready for, you know, any eventuality within your launch.
I think you know, the biggest thing I can, the biggest bit of advice I can offer here is be aware that lots of affiliates will be getting in touch with you. And that's a good thing. If you've got lots of affiliates inquiring, asking questions, wanting special tools, graphics, whatever, that means, you know, that means your launch is going well. The worst thing you can do is hide behind a support desk for affiliates. The worst thing you can do is ignore affiliates. And, you know, just be prepared. A lot of your work will be looking after affiliates. Now, if you've done this right, hopefully the customer service side of things, you've got someone else taking care of. Because what you don't want to be doing during a launch week is focusing on helping customers with passwords and you know, login yeah. details and things like that. Have someone else take care of that. Then you can take care of, you know, looking after your affiliates. Because at the end of the day, it's the affiliates who are going to make you your money. And once a sale is made, the sale is made. And if someone else can look after that customer just while your launch is going on, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to have, you don't have to hire somebody for the next 6 to 8 to 10 months. You know, you can just, you know, you can, even if you're on a low budget, you can ask a friend or, you know, yeah. the wife, husband or somebody just to take care of people. It's not a hard job to do. It's just simply, you know, asking them to help you out.
The main support questions I get when I have a big launch is, I can't get logged in,
yeah.
I don't have my login details, the videos won't play, or how do I download my material? It's simple stuff that can, you know, that anyone can answer. Okay, you can usually have predefined replies to speed things up as well. So, you know, you need to be focused on helping your affiliates make more money, and
yeah.
That's what you need to be, you know, during the launch week, that's what you need to be working on. But just be prepared for lots of long days, possibly sleepless nights. Should anything go wrong, you have to fix it. It can be a stressful time, but there's nothing better than when the launch is happening, you know, hopefully if everything's gone to plan, you're sitting back and watching sale after sale come in.
Yeah, my favourite moment is kind of when you have some sleep. And you wake up in the morning and you check your sales and there's a ton of money in there and you yeah. think, wow, you know, I've earned $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 while I've been asleep. So that's pretty good. Now, while we're on that subject, let's talk about launch teams quickly. Now, for guys with big budgets, you can have a launch team. I believe you had a launch team on your last launch, John, didn't you, for your partnership success? You kind of put more of the usual team together. You know, you have support, you have Alex as yourself, but you also outsourced to a JV manager as well, didn't you?
I did, yes, and that was the first time I'd actually done it, and it's something I can recommend. If you're planning a really big launch, sometimes even just looking after the affiliate side of things can be really, really time-consuming, and it can also just completely take over the whole launch. If you can hire someone to look after affiliates, to, you know, give affiliates what they need, to communicate with affiliates, to try and get affiliates to mail again, things like that, I would say if you can do that and you can find someone who can help you do that, I would say do it. But what you don't want to be doing is just, you know, putting an ad out for an affiliate manager. You know, I think if you're going to hire an affiliate manager, it should be someone you've already worked with. someone you can trust, someone who's maybe a close friend, someone you've met in an event, whatever. I mean, if Dan approached me, you know, and wanted to be my affiliate manager for a launch, I'd have no problems. You know,
I'd say no.
But if you know, if it was someone who just I know from a Facebook group, don't communicate much, and I, you know, I wouldn't just go and ask for an affiliate manager. I might. Or if I'm going to ask for an affiliate manager, it will be someone who just does that. Just does that side of things.
Trust and reputation, John.
Yeah.
That definitely goes a long way, doesn't it?
And another thing is, how do you pay an affiliate manager? My opinion, pay them on the sales they bring you.
Percentages.
Don't just say, I'll give you $10,000 if you be my affiliate manager, you know, because you don't know what sort of return you're going to get. So make sure the affiliate manager has to work for their money. And if you do that right, then obviously they will. I mean, my affiliate manager helped me tremendously during my partnership with Success Launch, and it was a huge, huge launch. It was at the time the biggest launch of my online career. Very, very stressful. And if he hadn't been there, I would have maybe struggled. You know, I would have found 24.
It was a lot. You can actually, I wrote about it in the case study, which you can download in module one, and I kind of tracked John's launch, and you know, I showed a few of the stresses in there, but also. For like the JV manager side of it, John, where would you pick one of those up? The Worry Forum, maybe?
I would say, I don't think I go asking. I wouldn't sort of put a post in a forum or a group. Or if I was, I'd be.
Could ask for recommendations.
Yeah, recommendations.
Who uses one? Or a sort of, you could actually ask a close, successful marketer who they use.
Yeah, I mean, if I was looking for a JV manager, didn't have one, I definitely wouldn't just go posting, I want a JV manager, come to me, blah, blah. I would be asking people.
Recommendation, that's probably what you want. Because if you want somebody good, it's going to come highly recommended.
Yeah. And you know, you maybe find people through Facebook and forums and see how they do things. And you can see affiliate managers in action. I mean, if you look at most marketers, you will the big launches, they will usually have some sort of affiliate manager on their team.
Yeah.
Whether you can approach that person is another story. They may, you know.
Well, you could actually reply to the guys who actually contact you, who are JV managers for other products or other people. You know, because yeah, they're all solo guys. They know they're all in it to make money. So you know they're out there. So you know you just have to find them. Right, solo probably. I would say a good 70% of people online. Run solo teams where we're just starting out, I would say. Run a solo team.
Yeah.
You know, everybody starts somewhere. Nobody, you know, if you're a newbie, you don't know about a JV manager or you don't know about having a team of people. If you're just starting your online career, everything's kind of done by yourself. First things first, though, is outsource your support.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see it. Like I said earlier, during the launch week, if you don't normally outsource your support, try and get some help during the launch week, because again, you need to be focusing on the affiliate side of things. Now you can do it all on your own. I mean, I could have done my partnership with Success Launch all on my own, but I would have had a really, really stressful time. I would have been literally working non-stop for 12 hours 16 hours a day, and I almost was anyway. But you know, your first few launches are probably aren't going to be the huge big blockbuster launches, and you'll probably find you can do everything on your own as long as you plan effectively. But you know, if you can get help, if people are offering to help and you've got friends and other online marketers you're close, you have close connections with, if you can get any help, advice, sometimes just, you know, someone who can just look over things and just give you pointers, do it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth having somebody on your side. I mean, like John said, a close friend, or you know, any online marketers, any forums, any groups that you're in, any Facebook groups. It's always people to help.
Yeah.
So don't just try to go it alone when you know there's actually people out there who can give you a hand. No, it's always ask for advice. Marketers, in a way, kind of stick together, don't they? Because at one time or another, everybody's going to be an affiliate.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're going to find that the people you ask for help will be one day probably asking you for help.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. And we all, I mean, I go to Dan for help, Dan comes to me for help. It's just what happens, you know.
Okay. Outsourced. Now, kind of touched on that a little bit, but tasks to outsource are really support, any graphics, any copywriting, any technical stuff that needs doing, you should always have someone there who's got technically minded that if anything goes really seriously wrong, then you're going to need help, because not everybody is completely technical and knows exactly what they're doing.
I would say as well, if you have to outsource any part of the product creation, you know, membership creation, that technical things you don't know, you better make sure that you've got these people on hand when you go live, you know, when your product goes live, because if you don't know how to fix something when it goes wrong, that's probably the most frustrating thing that can ever happen. You know, if your guy's in a different part of the world and he's in bed when you go live, you better tell that guy, you know, I'm going live at, you know, whatever time, please just you know, stay with me for a couple of hours just
to make sure everything's working. Even if it costs you a couple of extra $100, you know, you're going to make that back on your launch. So, like, you know, guy, he's $100, stay up for 2 hours while I launch, you know, so...
And be on hand and just, you know, give me your cell phone number, whatever, so I can try and get in touch. So, you know, if you're outsourcing any of this, make sure the people you outsource to can be contacted in, you know, an emergency situation. An emergency situation being that you're getting 10,000 hits an hour and the page isn't loading or something like that, you know.
Yeah, if you're getting 10,000 hits an hour and the page isn't loading, giving a guy $100
Exactly.
Definitely something worth doing.
But my advice as well is try and learn, you know, if you don't know the basics, try and learn the basics of what you're doing. Try and learn, you know, how a payment button works, how your payment processor works, how to upload a file, how to change a page on WordPress. These little things are the things that you can, hopefully, if you need to quickly change something, you can then go and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know people who outsource almost everything, and sometimes I think that person, you know, should basically be doing a little bit more of the important things, or at least learning the important things, just in case the worst should happen.
You can pick all the simple stuff up on YouTube, can't you, John?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a quick YouTube search can find pretty much anything to do with basic WordPress setup or basic file uploads or anything like that. So, I mean, don't worry too much about it, because it's kind of always there for you to use. But outsourcing, definitely worth doing. Definitely worth outsourcing graphics, etc.
Graphics support.
Yeah.
Maybe copywriting, writing emails for your JV page, that sort of thing. The tasks that you don't really want to do. The mundane tasks.
And also the tasks that you're not very good at.
Because,
I mean, I would like to design the graphics for my launch or for this launch, because it wouldn't look off as good. I mean, you're looking at the slide now, that product launch control graphic. I didn't design that, neither did John. So, you know, it's a dark art. Okay. I hope you enjoyed the second module, and please don't forget you have your worksheets and your checklists to download. You can also take the MP3 with you, and that's the audio's been stripped out and placed on the page as well for download. Okay, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you in module 3.